pot, he says that this is the kuba.
They can't use any other kind of oil. So that's why Rebbe Kivega has a kasha in the beginning of Perek by Mem Avlikin. The Mishnah lists off which psilus shmonim you're not permitted to use for Neir Shabbos because they won't burn well. And then the Gemara has a whole machlokes regarding those psilus shmonim shamar chachamim hey madlik mehem b'Shabbos. What's the din on Chanukah? Are you allowed to use those on Chanukah or not? So the Gemara raises the issue: what's the din of kopsof? If the Neir Chanukah goes out, are you mechuyev to rekindle it or not? Because these psilus shmonim are not going to burn well. So if you're going to use it for Chanukah, it may quite well go out, and he probably will not rekindle it. Maybe he's not allowed to use it. The whole discussion in the Gemara. So the Gemara makes a statement that psilus hashmonim shamar chachamim. The Mishnah lists off all these oils and all these psilus that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos. So the Gemara says in the Beis Hamikdash also you're not allowed to use them because it has to be lahalas near tamid. It should shalheves oila. It should burn well. And it's not going to burn well. So Rabbi Kivega says, what do you mean? Shmanim. Shem is Aizach. What are you talking about? Shem Shimshanim, Shem Nagazim, Shem Zanim, Shem Parkus. What kind of Shmanim are you talking about? The only Shemin that's good is Shem is Aizach. So he says he doesn't understand. So the Torah Tmima on this Pasuk in the beginning of the Perek quotes, he writes that he checked in old manuscripts and he found a text in the Gemara where it, Anuscha Shask Savyad, in an old printed edition, the word shmonim is missing. It just says psilu shamach chachamim. The wicks that the Mishnah says you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're also not allowed to use in the Beis Hamikdash. But the shmonim, of course you're not allowed to use it. The only shemen you can use is shem is aizach. That's what it says in the Chumash. So he thinks that there's nothing to discuss because Rabbi Kivega's kasha, the teretz is that it's a misprint in the Gemara. Rabbi Yeruchim Perla, who was Balbos, who wrote a long commentary on what he considered the Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Rav Sadyugan. Rav Sadyugan wrote a poem where he lists off the different mitzvahs. Probably was recited on Shavuos in the middle of Kriya Sater, I guess. And this Rabbi Yeruchim Perla made a whole big tzimis out of him, and he figured out a whole calculation how this poem contains all the 613 mitzvahs and what the code is. He cracked the code. Which are the klolim of a Rav Sadyugo and how to determine whether something counts as a mitzvah, doesn't count as a mitzvah, and so on. So he has three big fat volumes. So he has all kinds of odds and ends. He quotes piyutim and midrashim and all kinds of rayas for everything. So he makes a suggestion that he has midrashim that maybe it's not so. That maybe Shem is Aizach is not li'ikuvah. And maybe the Girsan Nigmar is correct. No. That's a big chiddush. The pashtus is like Rabbi Kivega says that there's nothing to discuss. He says you have to light the menorah, the halas near tamid. So the Gemara has a drasha tamid has a connotation afila b'shabbos afila b'tuma. What does it mean? We were talking about yesterday. Whenever you have a korban shizmanu kavua, if you have to do it every single day, so it's manu kavua every day. So then the din is, a korban shezmanu kavua has a special din that is decha Shabbos and is decha Tumah. So that's why there's the famous kasha that the Chacham Tzvi is bothered with. Why was the whole Nes Chanukah necessary? All of the Shemin was Tameh and there was no Shemin Tohor. So the din is, if you don't have Shemin Tohor, so you're madlik b'Shemin Tumah. That's what the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, Tamid, afilu b'Shabbos, afilu b'Tumah. So the Pnei Yeshua quotes this kasha in the beginning of the on the beginning of the sugya of Chanukah, when the Gemara quotes the whole story. Some of the Achraidim, several Achraidim came up with the same suggestion, and maybe the Gemara says the Chashmonaim had to make a new menorah. The old menorah apparently was destroyed or was used for Avodah Zarah purposes, so the Gemara says they had to make a new menorah. And the Gemara has a historical machlekes HaTanaim. The Tanaim lived their way later, centuries later, so they had a machlekes. When the Chashmonaim made the new menorah, was it made from wood or was it made from metal? Is a wooden menorah acceptable? So it's a historical question, but it's clear from the Gemara that they made a new menorah and they made a new mizbeach also. The old mizbeach was used for Avodah Zarah. Shik Tzaman Sheyovan was used for Avodah Zarah, so the Gemara said they had to make a new mizbeach. So the first hadlok of the menorah was mechanachit. The Gemara says, Kol hakelim shasam Moshe mishichasam mikat shasam. All the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, they did Meshicha b'shem and Amishcha, v'ayim shachem v'ayikadosh oisom, that the Meshicha was mekadosh. Mikan v'yelech, after the death, that was a Hayroa Shoah. The kam ve'elach after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when you make kelim, avodasa mechan chosim, the tchilos avoda is mechanachit, is mekadoshit. So that's where several achrenim came up with this sign follow the teretz. That when do you say tamid afilu betumah? When are you permitted to be madlik the menorah even with shem and tamay? That's if the menorah is already mekudeshes and mechuneches, and it's functioning. And one day you don't have shem and tahor, so you're allowed to use shem and tamay. Tumah mutra betzibo. Karmish is manakavu. You can bring betumah, but if you want to be mechanach the menorah and you want to be mechanach with shem and tamay, so that's not acceptable. So the question is, why not? The sign for that the Achranim came up with, why not? So I thought that the Teretz were, I thought that the Pshat meant, this is not the way the Achranim said. I thought that it was correct. I thought that that's not called Zmanu Kavur. If you have a menorah that's Mekudeshes and Mechuneches, then the Halacha says, you have a menorah, so you're Mechuyev to be Madlik every single day. So that's a Korban Shel Zmanu Kavur. But if you have a menorah that you constructed, but you weren't yet Mechanachet, Avedosim Mechan Chosom, so when are you Mechuyev to be Mechanachet? Earliest available opportunity. You can't say it's Korban Shel Zmanu Kavur. How can you say it's Zmanu Kavur? You don't have a menorah yet. You have a structure of a menorah, but it wasn't Mekudeshes yet. So I thought that's what this teretz signifies. That the initial hadlaka that's mechanechit has to be betahara, because the act of being mechanech is not called zman kavua. Once the menorah is mechuneches, then the din says if you have a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, you mechuyev to be madlik every single day. But if you weren't mechanech yet, so you can't say you mechuyev to be mechanechit today. Why? Mechanechit tomorrow, mechanechit next week. Does reason makdim le mitzvahs? You have a mitzvah to do it as early as possible. Then the parsha continues to tell us about all the big dekuna. In the parsha it says that there were two sets of big dekuna, big dekain gadol, big dekain hedya. Truth of the matter is there was a third set, big dekain gadol b'yom kippurim, which is different from big dekain gadol and different from big dekain hedya. It's a third set of begodim that appears in Parshas Achrei Mos. That's a kasha. Rav Shlomo Levilner asked that kasha in the Sefer Binyan Shlomo. Why didn't the Chumash here list off the third set? Okay, it's only once a year, so it lists it in Parshas Achrei Mos when it gives the Avodas Yom Kippurim. I think Gemara understands from the pasuk that by wearing the big dekuna, the katsho lechahanoli, by wearing the big dekuna, they become kohanim. The asuas big they are in lekatsho lechahanoli bisman shebigdosim aleim bisman shebigdeim aleim kunosim aleim ein bigdeim aleim ein kunosim aleim. If the kohen is not wearing the big dekuna, he's considered like a zar, and if he'll do avoda, he'll be chay misa b'dei shamayim, and the avoda will be mechulelos. That's how the Gemara says, based on the pasuk lekatsho lechahanoli bisman shebigdeim aleim kunosim aleim. Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Why did the Gemara have to make up such a fancy drosha? The Bizman Shabigdei Malayim, Kunas Malayim, Ein Bigdei Malayim, Ein Kunas Malayim, Havalei Kizar, Bizar Shishimish Ben Misa. It's a Beferish Pasuk here, the last Pasuk in Chapter Chav Ches. V'hoyu al Aharon v'al Bona b'voyim al Ol Moed, oi b'gishtam l'mizbech l'shoriz b'kodesh d'shvede b'godim, v'lo yisu ovun v'al Mesu. If they'll do the avoda without wearing big dekuna, the chay misa v'deish ma'am says befevish. Why did Gemara have to make a whole fantastic drasha? So Tosis says because that pasuk is not so clear. That pasuk mem gimel, the concluding pasuk in chapter chav ches, follows the din of nichnasayim. In pasuk mem beis it says vaselah nichnasayvad lachasot psar ervo. Then it's a Behoyu al Aharon val Banov. Behoyu goes on the Michnasai, but Behoyu goes on all of God. So Taisa says one can read the Pasuk Behoyu al Aharon val Banov, Behoyim al Ol Moed, Belisu Avim val Mesu. If they walk in without Michnasayim, means Begilo Yerva, Lachasos Pesar Erva. If they go in Begilo Yerva, then there's Misa B'deshma. But you don't necessarily have to read Pasuk Mem Gimel Behoyu al Aharon as referring to all the big dekuna, that if they're going to do avodah with that big dekuna, they'll be misa b'dei shamayim. So that's why the Gemara had to learn out from this fancy drasha. Bizman shebigdei maleim kunos maleim, ein bigdei maleim ein kunos maleim b'havalei kizar. The Mordechai Gittin quotes this story that one of the talmidim of the Rabbeinu Tam was a kohen. They didn't have a faucet that you can easily wash Netilas Adayin by holding a cup under the faucet. So they had to schlep water from a well, from a river, and then they had to have a container of water. And Purim is a whole production. So one of the students of Rabbi Natam was a kohen, so he did Rabbi Natam a favor. So Rabbi Natam had to wash for bread, so he poured the water on his hand. So one of the other Talmidim of Rabbi Natam, Rabbi Peter Pepper, asked the Rabbi Natam, how are you permitted to let the kohen pour the water on your hands? There's a Yerushalmi that happens to be quoted in Shulchan Aruch also. The Yerushalmi says, Hamishtamish b'kohen moal. You're not allowed to use the kohen for your own purposes, unless you pay money. That's what some Akhrayim say, but Rabbi Natam didn't pay him any money. So isn't it Mishtamish b'kuhuna moal? It's also, so Rabbi Natam said he's not wearing big dekuna. Bizman shei mikdeim aleim en konasim aleim. So he's not a kohen. So then the Rabbi Nepeta said, what do you mean? So he's allowed to marry a grusha. He's allowed to go to the cemetery. He doesn't get the first aliyah. If he's not wearing big dekuna, how can it be? So Rabbi Natam gave him another answer. Well, the kohen was mechal on his kovel. So what happened to the first answer that he gave? That bizman shei mikdeim aleim en konasim aleim. He backed down from that. He backed out from that. He admitted that he made a mistake. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, no, he didn't make a mistake. The Rosh Hashulchan has this basically. Rav Soloveitchik said it a little fancier. So he said what the Rabbi Natam meant to say was that there are two levels of Kedushas Kuna. There's Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh and there's Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin. So with respect to getting the first aliyah, Pidyon HaBed, and eating Truma, and not marrying a grusha, not being metamei lemeisim, so that's sufficient. Kedushas kuna shebigvulin. But if you get to hakrovas hakorbanes, the Torah says you have to wear big dekuna because you need a higher level of kedusha. Kedushas kuna shebamigdosh. Rabbi Natam thought that the lashon of the Yerushalmi is hamishtamish bekuhuna moal. Why does it say moal? It should say osir leshtamish bekoyim. Meila is only in kochi hamigdosh. So that's what led him to believe that Hamishtamish b'kuhuna mo'al only applies if his bizban shebigdeim aleihem, then he has the kedushas kuna shebamigdosh. But bizei migdeim aleihem, so it doesn't say in Yerushalmi it's also the shtamish b'kuhin. It says it's an inyan of ne'ila, so that only applies when he's wearing big dekuna. The psukim say that the wearing of the big dekuna is supposed to be lachavoid all the sefaris. We were discussing the Gemara a few times. Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to his kori lemoni mechabdusa. The Gemara says on Afevo. He used to refer to the clothing that he wore as mechabdusa, because when a person wears nice clothing, so it enhances his self-esteem. He feels better about himself, and it enhances his esteem in the eyes of the other people as well. That's why the Gemara says that on Shabbos there's a din of the chibarato. The Pasuk in Yeshayah speaks about the two mitzvahs Medivri Kabbalah, Kibud V'Yoneg. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos says that there were four mitzvahs on Shabbos, two in Chumash and two in Medivri Kabbalah in Yeshayah. Two in Chumash are Zachar V'Shamar, and the two in Yeshayah are Kibud V'Yoneg. So it says V'Chibaratoy. So what does it mean? You should do things on Shabbos to show kavod to the Shabbos. So the Gemara says one of the dinim of Kvod Shabbos is that you have to wear big day Shabbos. Special begotten for Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, and if you can't afford to have special begotten, at least you should wear your begotten in a different way. You used to wear, if you can't wear the way we wear clothes, what are you going to wear? The jacket backwards, the trousers upside down. But on our clothing, it's not shot. But they used to wear, like the people in Afghanistan, or like the Arabs wear, they wear a sheet that they wrap around. So you can wear long and can wear it short. So if all week long they used to wear short, so on Shabbos, you should wear it longer. That's why years ago, many Rabbonim used to have, during the week they wore a short jacket, and on Shabbos Yonder they wore a long jacket. They used to wear a Prince Albert. Remember Rav Soloveitchik years ago used to wear on Shabbos Yonder a long Prince Albert. Then in the later years, they didn't sell them anymore. Well, they were out of style, so he just didn't wear it. It would look funny. So that's part of the din, that on Shabbos there's a din of kovod. So kovod applies to wearing begodim also. Yitzchak Yochanan has a tshuva in his sefer where he discusses akasha. What did the Gemara have to learn out from a pasuk that an oinein is not allowed to be makriv karbonis? You can only be makriv karbonis if you're wearing big dekuna. And we know that oval yom rishon is ein minyach tefillin. Not only during aninus, even oval yom rishon is ein minyach tefillin. And other mitzvahs he is obligated to do. So Rashi explains that why is oval yom rishon different So he says, because the Abel Yom Rishon is Galal Ba'ofar Karno, he's in Avelis, he's such a sad state, he's in a depressed state, and he's not allowed to dress up nicely. And the Tefillin are referred to as Pe'er. When Yechezkel HaNavi was told to observe Avelis, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, what do you tell him? Pe'er Chachavosh Alecha, you should wear the Tefillin. Another Rabbah is not permitted to wear Tefillin. So why is Tefillin different? Because Tefillin are Tachshitim. The Rambam quotes one opinion that Ovel is not allowed, Ovel Yom Rishon is not allowed to wear Tefillin, only refers to Tefillin Shal Rosh, doesn't apply to Tefillin Shal Yad. Because in the Chumash it says like the Chak Melos HaYadecha V'Hayira Tetefes, Tetefes is a Tachshit. So the Rambam quotes one opinion for Nigainim that the Ovel Yom Rishon only leaves out Tefillin Shal Rosh, Tefillin Shal Yad he does wear. We don't follow that opinion at all. We follow the opinion that the Ovel Yom Rishon doesn't wear neither Tefillin Shal Yad nor Tefillin Shal Rosh. We assume that both are considered tachshit. So we assume that the Ovel Yom Rishon, the only mitzvah that he shouldn't fulfill is tefillin, because he's mizgalel ba'ofar karno, and it's not right that he should wear tefillin, which are a pe'er, tachshit. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan asks, so the Ovel Yom Rishon should, the Oinen and the Ovel Yom Rishon shouldn't wear big dekuna either? Big dekuna is supposed to be l'chavad l'siforis. And Mele, if he's not going to be wearing big dekunas, of course he can't be makor kabbonis. What does the Gemara just say? That in Oinen can't be makor karbonis. Even the Ovel Yom Rishon also shouldn't be able to be makor of karbonis. Just like he doesn't wear tefillin, he shouldn't be able to wear the big dekuna either. The Shaila is then, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan's kasha. The Shaila is this din, that the Ovel Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. The Gemara learned it out from the pasuk in Yecheskel. Is that really a din deraisa? Many Achredim assume that it's only a din derabbanan. The Gemara is trying to establish on the level of deraisa that the Ovel, that the Oinen is not allowed to be makariv korbanos. So I don't. Anyway, that's his kasha. He works on that kasha. Some of the big dekuna had kilayim. Several of the big dekoin gadol had kilayim, and we assume that the avnate of the kohen hedyot all year long had kilayim as well. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. The avnate of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, the third set of big dekuna, the kohen gadol's begadim on Yom Kippur, everything was sheish, everything was linen. There was no wool. So the avnate shel kohen gadol on Yom Kippur did not have shatnas. So the Gemara has a machlokes atanoim in Yuma, where the avnate shel kohen gadol is ever avnate shel kohen hedyot or not. Is the avnate of the kohen hedyot all year long the same as the avnate of the kohen gadol? The Gemara has a discussion. It says after the kohen gadol finishes the avodah on Yom Kippurim, he should take off the big dekuna, the hinicham sham. He should leave it there in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean hinicham sham? So one opinion is another next year you have to have new big dekuna. Even though he's the same kohen gadol, he didn't lose weight, he didn't gain weight, he fits the same. He's not allowed to wear the same big kohen gadol next year. But if you want to give it to a kohen hedyot, gizuntahed. The other opinion is no hinicham sham. Not allowed to use it even a kohen hedyot. So the Gemara says, how can a kohen hedyot? What is there to discuss? Can a kohen hedyot wear the big day kohen gadol on Yom Kippur? It's the wrong kind of a gadim. Avneitu shol kohen gadol lo zehu avneitu shol kohen hedyot. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So the Rambam has accepted the opinion from the Gemara that avneit of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur is only sheish, it's only linen. Avneit of the kohen hedyot all year long is shatnes. So there's nothing to discuss whether the kohen hedyot can wear it or not. It's the wrong kind of a begging. So that leads to a famous machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. When the Kohen Hedyot finishes the Avodah, does he have to remove the Avnate immediately? He doesn't have to remove all the Big Dekuna immediately. Why don't you say that it's Moel Behegdash? Big Dekuna have Kedushas Hegdash? So Kozman, he wears Big Dekuna L'tzarech HaMitzvah, so there's no din of Me'ilo. But the minute he finishes the Avodah, we should tell him right away to run into one of the side rooms and take off the Big Dekuna and put on his plain begotten. So that, the Gemara says, no, but nit n'tor l'malachi ha-shoreis, that the Issa Me'ilah, that's the Loshan HaGemara, Kiddushin in the second Perek, that you can't expect of the Kohanim they should run out of the Beis HaMikdash immediately after completing the Avodah. So, big dekuna lo nitnu li'moel b'ham. The Kohen Hedyot wears the big dekuna longer than the Shas Avodah, there's no prohibition of Me'ilah. But the Shaila is, what about the prohibition of Shatnas? So the Rambam says he has to take off the gartel right away. He has to take off the avnate right away because the avnate has kilayim. And the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid thinks that it's muchach from the Gemara. Tosis has two opinions also. And the Ravid disagrees. Holds like the other opinion that the kohen hedyot is permitted to wear the avnate even shaloi b'shas avoda. The Ravid points out there's something strange, but the Rambam has it twice in Hilchas Klei Amigdash when he talks about the big dekuna, and he has it in Hilchas Kilayim. At both times, they only worry about the Kohen head. You're taking off the Avnet right away. It never says a word about the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol has shatness in several of his begodim. Why doesn't the Rambam say you have to, the Kohen Gadol has to take off the big day kuna gedola right away after he finishes also? So the Radvaz on the side of the Rambam in his commentary writes, apparently the Rambam distinguishes between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyu. Shaila is why? Why should that be so? So the Beis HaLevi has in his Chuvis a whole, Beis HaLevi starts with this, I think, the first Chuvis talks about the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rayu. Usually, what's usually assumed is, the way Tosis presents it in Menachah, usually what we assume is that we were discussing yesterday whether on Shabbos is Hutra by Pikoch Nevesh or Duchuya, whether Shabbos is Hutra by Mila Bizman or Duchuya. And the Gemara says that's Machlekes and Mechabed Ramon, both cases. And then with respect to Karbonish and Zmanim Kavua, that's Beferish, that's not a Machlekes, that's a Gemara and Yuma, that Shabbos is Hutra. And Karbonis Betume is a Machlekes Hatanoim and a Machlekes Amaram, and this Hutra or Duchuya. So the Tosis raises the question, what's the story with Kilaim and the Big De Kuhuna? Is that Hutra or Dechuya? So Tosis explains that this is what the issue depends on. Are you permitted to wear Big De Kuhuna Shaloi B'Shas Avoid? It depends whether it's Hutra or Dechuya. If you're all Hutra, so you can wear it even Shaloi B'Shas Avoid. If you're all Dechuya, so it's only Doicha B'Shas Avoid. There's a Pirish Am Yuchas L'Haraivin Am Maseches Tomid, which is usually assumed not to be written by the Ravid, seems to be written not at all the Ravid style. It's written by somebody else, Alta, Arishan. So this Pirish Am Yuchas L'Haraivin Am Maseches Tomid asks Akashi, he says, I don't understand what the Bali Atosis are talking about. Whether you're permitted to wear Bigger Dekuna Shaloi B'Shas Avera, it depends whether Hutra Dechuya. So he says, take a look. The Gemara says in Yuma that Hakrobas Karbonis on Shabbos, that Karbonis is Manam Kavua, Shabbos is Hutra. So when the Kohanim are makriv the Karbonis on Shabbos, they're allowed to smoke a cigar also. Hutra! Everything is Mutta, Hutra. He says, no, Hutra is for the... You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of HaKrovas HaKarbonis, not Stam. To be Mechal Shabbos, to watch television, turn on the television, smoke a cigar, everything goes. Hutra is for the purpose of HaKrovas HaKarbonis. The Shaila is by the Hutra, the Chuyo. Okay, so the Gemara says Hutra. So he says he doesn't understand. Kilayim and Big Dekuna, whether you say Hutra, you say Dechuya, is when you're doing the mitzvah for the purpose of the mitzvah, is Hutra. But after the mitzvah is finished, Shaloi B'Shas HaVoida, 3 hours later, he could have taken off the Big Dekuna. Minutes after he finished the avodah, what did it take him 3 hours longer? So he doesn't understand. Even if you hold hutra, but it's only hutra for the purpose of the mitzvah. The difference between hutra and tchuyah is efshel lekayim shneim. But how did it come up with a new difference between hutra and tchuyah? But that's what Tosis writes. Tosis says it depends on hutra and tchuyah. So Rav Soloveitchik once gave a yortzeit drasha about the kilayim v'tzitzis with the hutra and tchuyah. So he spoke about this, the answer, the Ravid's Kasha, the Pirish HaMiyuchas L'Ravid. So he just wanted to define what do the terms mean, Hutra Dechuya. So he said, if you hold that Kilayim and Big Dekuna Hutra, what it means is, when the prohibition of Kilayim was formulated, it never applied to Big Dekuna. It means the Heftz of Big Dekuna was excluded, was exempted. So the Heftz of Big Dekuna was excluded. So it doesn't matter B'Shas HaVayda, Shalom B'Shas HaVayda. But if you say Dechuya, it means the prohibition of Kilayim was formulated l'chud. And then there was a mitzvah of HaKrovas HaKarbonis and Big Dekuna l'chud. And then there's a problem over here. There's a conflict. How can you wear Big Dekuna to be Makro Karbonis? It has Shatnas. And on the other hand, there's an Issa Shatnas. So the din is that A is Doicha B. The Tzorach HaKrovas HaKarbonis is Doicha. So if it's Doicha, so then the way to formulate the din is that the Tzorach HaGavra, to fulfill his mitzvah, the way he presented it was Gavra Chefze, but it's not, he didn't really mean Gavra versus Chefze. He said, Dechuya means that the tzorach of the person to fulfill the mitzvah is matah him. Dechuya means that it's mutter. But what's matah? The tzorach HaGavra to fulfill a mitzvah is matah him to violate the Issa. But once he already finished the mitzvah, Shaloi B'Shas HaVoida, then there's no longer any tzorach to be matah, so it won't be mutter. And if you say that the tzorach is matur, it's only as if it's e'ef shalakayim shneim. Whenever it's e'ef shalakayim shneim, there's no tzorach. That's what the Gemara says. The difference between hutra and dechuya is if it's e'ef shalakayim shneim. So if you hold that tumah on a korban tzibur is dechuya, means the tzorach agavra to fulfill the mitzvah of hakrovas hakarbonis, manam kavua, is matur, the isa tumah. So if it's the tzorech, then if it's efshe l'kayim shneim, there is no tzorech. So then there's no dechuyah. But if you all hutra, so how would you say it over there? It means the cheftza of hakorbanos tzibur. The cheftza of korbanos tzibur are excluded, are exempted from the din of tumah. There's a din, you're not allowed to be makor korbanos in the state of tumah. And korbanos tzibur, korbanos shezmanim kavua, are not included in that. So then even if it's efshe l'kayim shneim, it doesn't bother me. The cheftza of korbanos tzibur were never included. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik worded it, to understand what the Rishonim are talking about. So here, this machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid have the machlokes, but the Koinhedyot is allowed to wear the avnet, which has shatnas, even after finishing the avodah. The Rambam holds that he has to remove it right away, and the Ravid says he can leave it on all day long. So it's usually assumed in Achrayim that that's the same machlokes, the two opinions in Taisus, the Shatnas by the Hutra Dchuyim. So then it's problematic. The Radvaz points out on the Rambam to defend the Rambam from the Ravid. Why did the Rambam only pick on the Koinhedyot taking off the avnet? You should have said the Kohen Gadol should take off all of the begodim that he wears that are shatnas. So it would appear from the Rambam that by the Kohen Gadol there's no problem. Taka, why no problem? So that's what the Beis Halevi suggests. No, it has nothing to do with the Hutra and the Chuya. He suggests maybe the story is like this. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah to wear big dekuna by Kohen Gadol is all day long, and by Kohen Hedyot the mitzvah to wear big dekuna is only b'shas avodah. And maybe the Ravid is of the opinion that the mitzvah of the Kohen Hedyot to wear big dekuna is even not b'shas avodah. To wear begodim l'chovet ul sefaras. Maybe that's the machlokes. When do you have the mitzvah? The Rambam seems to distinguish between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot. They look on the Rambam in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. He writes that you have to appoint a Kohen Gadol, and the role of the Kohen Gadol, the function of the Kohen Gadol, to be present in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. Kvodav Sefarto, he writes, it's the kovod of the Kohen Gadol to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. So the pashtus is to be in the Beis HaMikdash and to wear the big day kuhuna all day long. So the Kohen Gadol has mitzvah to wear big day Kohen Gadol all day long. So that's why by him he's allowed to wear with the shatnas all day long. He's fulfilling a mitzvah all day long. Kohen Hedyot, the Rambam thinks, there is no independent mitzvah to wear big dekuna. The big dekuna amachshe him to do avodah. If he won't wear big dekuna, he can't do avodah. The minute he finishes the avodah, so there's no longer a mitzvah. So that's why he holds that there's no heter to wear the big dekuna. And the Ravid perhaps thinks that Kohen Hedyot, the same as Kohen Gadol, he has a mitzvah all day long. The mitzvah to wear big dekuna is not only to enable a Kohen Hedyot to do the avodah. Maybe there's a mitzvah to wear big dekuna all day long. Why is this such, according to the Rambam? Why is there a mitzvah to wear on the Kohen Gadol? Why does Kohen Gadol have the mitzvah to wear the big dekuna gedola all day long? So that's a question. So when you read the Rambam in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, it sounds like that's the role of the Kohen Gadol, to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long with the big dekuna gedola. The Beis HaLevi has a twist on this. He says that the Kohen Gadol, one of the Shmoyna begodim that he wears is the tzitz. And it says that the purpose of the role of the tzitz, where is the pasuk? Well, tzitz a tzitz zahav tahar should be made from gold, and the role of the tzitz, unasa aharon esavon al kadoshim, very very vague pasuk, by the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, unasa aharon esavon hakadoshim, some kind of an avera in conjunction with hakravas hakamaran shiagdisha bnei Yisrael lechol matnos pachem. Somehow the wearing of the tzitz is mechaper on some avera in connection with the kabbalah is very vague. So the Gemara has a whole tradition, a whole drasha, that the tzitz is meratze. It says lerotzon lahem, the tzitz is meratze on karbonis that are korban in the state of tuma. If you bring a korban in the state of tuma, korban yochid, korban sibur is mutter, korban shezmano kavu is mutter. But if you bring a korban she'ein zmano kavu in the state of tuma, there are two dinim. Number one, it's an avera, and number two, it's pasul. So the pasuk says that this is lirotzen lahem, this is meratze, the tzitz meratze on the korbanos that are brought in the state of tuma. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim in the first perek in Yuma, daf ches, right after that machlekes amaroim, whether the tuma is mutter betzibur or tuma hutra duchuy betzibur. So the Gemara shows it's really a machlekes hatanoim. So the Gemara, into entering till they establish that it's a machlekes hatanoim, so they quote a machlekes hatanoim. What does it mean lerotzen lahem lefnei Hashem? Hay al mitzcha tamid. What does it mean tamid? So one Tana is of the opinion that the tzitz is only meratzen when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it. When the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it, then it's not meratzen. So he has to wear the tzitz all day long in order to be meratz, in order to be machshir, in case a korban will be accidentally, by mistake, brought in a state of tumah, so the kohen gadol should wear the tzitz all day long. That's how the Rambam paskens. The tzitz is only meratz on the korbanos when he's wearing it, when he's not wearing it, not. So that's it. Now there's a new shaila. When you say the tzitz is meratzah, all he has to do is wear the tzitz. He can wear all the, he can wear a three-piece suit, a fancy suit. Doesn't have to wear the other big dikun. Just has to walk around with the tzitz. Well, no, it means he'll be a mechusa begotten. The tzitz is only meratzah if he wears all the other big dikun. So Taisus in Kiddushin quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, a little Taisus. No, all he has to do is wear the tzitz. And the Beis HaLevi suggests that perhaps the Rambam disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. He thinks the tzitz is only meratze, and it's not called wearing a tzitz. It's going to be mechusa begadim. He has to wear other shmoneh in the garden in order that the tzitz should be able to be meratze. So that's why the Rambam thinks that the kohen gadol has a mitzvah to wear the shmoneh big day kuna all day long, even shelo b'shas havoida. Why? He has to wear all of the garden in order that the tzitz should be able to be meratze. But again, the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma, Daf Ches, quotes that's a machlekes hatanaim. Is the tzitz only meratze, odo al mitzcho, meratze, eino al mitzcho, eino meratze, hoy al mitzcho, tomid lerotzon? It's only meratze when he wears it? But he's saying no, that it's always meratze, unless it's broken. If nishba hatzitz, then it's not meratze. But if it's loy nishba hatzitz, even if the kohen gadol is not wearing it, so the other Tana says that it would still be meratze. The Rambam follows that opinion. The maskonos ha-tanoim is, Askanas Allah is that the tzitz is only meratzah when the kohen gadol wears it. There is an interesting question when you say the tzitz is meratzah on a korban that was korev in a state of tumah, korban yochid, that was korev in a state of tumah, so the tzitz is meratzah. So the way the Rambam paskens the tzitz only meratzah while the kohen gadol was wearing it, the kohen gadol was wearing it when? The kohen gadol was wearing it, I would have said, when the korban was offered in a state of tumah. So that's what the Gvuras Ari writes. Shagasari has a sefer on Yuma. He writes like that. That's Pashup Shat. Rashi does not write like that. Rashi writes Peladik. If the kohen gadol was wearing the tzitz when the korban became nitma, not when the korban was korban. Let's say the korban became nitma at 9 o'clock, and then they were makrevit. They didn't realize that it was nitma. They were makrevit at 10 o'clock. So which hour does it count that the kohen gadol has to be wearing the tzitz? 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock? At the time of the Kabbalah's tomb of the korban, or at the time of the Hakrovas HaKorban? So the Shagazai writes the normal pshat. I would have said, if you wouldn't have Rashi, even after you have Rashi, I would have said like the Shagazai. It means the kohen gadol has to be wearing the tzitz at the time of Hakrovas HaKorban. And that's lirotzen, that's meratzen. And Rashi does not write like that. Rashi writes the tzitz is meratzen if the kohen gadol is wearing it at the time that the korban became nifsal, even though he's not wearing it at the time that the marker of the korban. It's a very strange Rashi. And that machlekes amaroim and the machlekes hatanoim, whether a korban shizman or kavua, we usually refer to it as a korban tzibah, because most korban, 98% of korban tzibah is man kavua. And 95% of korbanos yachid are ein zmanim kavua. But it really doesn't depend whether it's muta betumah and muta b'shabbos. It's not really a function of korban yachid versus korban tzibur. It's really a function of zmanim kavua versus ein zmanim kavua. That's a mishnah in the first mishnah, the second parak in Tmura. Rav Meir says that in the mishnah. That it's not that it's korban tzibur versus korban yachid. It's korban shezmanim kavua versus korban shein zmanim kavua. There's not machlokes on that. What Rav Meir said is accepted, is correct. So the Gemara there in Yuma, and that sugya says, Elchapa nafkemina, whether you hold that tumas hutra betzibur or dechuya betzibur, do you need the tzitz, do you need the kohen gadol to be wearing the tzitz in addition to the fact that it's a korban tzibur? So if you hold that tumah hutra betzibur, then you don't even need the kohen gadol to be wearing the tzitz. But if the din is the way the Rama paskins, the way the Rashba paskins, that tumah is only dechuya betzibur, it's not hutra, so then it'll only be the chuya if the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz also. Then you need a tziruf of the tzitz. Why is it totally zeh b'zeh? Why did the Gemara make it linked up together? The Gemara doesn't really explain it. So on this, there's a famous explanation from Rabbi Tzala Panavisha. Rabbi Tzala Panavisha. He was a big goyin. Rab Chaim considered him the biggest Baal Mechadish of that generation. He was wild. Fantastic Mechadish. So he has a little sefer, Zecha Yitzchak. So in his sefer he explains, a brief paragraph, he explains why is it Tali Zebezeh. So he explains that there are two dinim in Tumah. There's an Iser, to be makriv karbonis in the state of Tumah, and then there's a psul. If you makriv karbonis in the state of Tumah, then the karbon is possible. So if you hold that Tumah is dechuya b'tzibur, means that the mitzvah of hakrabas karbonis tzibur is doicha the iser of being makriv b'tumah, the concept of dechuya only applies, esed doicha lo isesi. It's doicha an aver. So it'll come out that you didn't do an aver. But what's going to cover the second din? So the kohen didn't do an aver, but it'd still be possible. There's one din that if you makriv a karbon in the state of Tumah, you violated an avera. Then there's another din, if you makriv a karbon in the state of Tumah, the karbon is possible. So fine, you can say Tumah dechuya b'tzibur, the tzarech hakrabas karbon tzibur is derech l'avera. What's matcha the karbon? Bottom line, the karbon is still possible. So you still need the tziruf of the tzitz to be meratz. You need the kohen gadol should be wearing the tzitz in order that it should be kosher. But if you hold that Tumah hutra b'tzibur, what does it mean hutra? Means that the parsha of Tumah, the dinim that it says in the Chumash, with respect to Tumah by Karbonis, namely that Kohen is Tumah, your Karbonis at a time may not be offered. And secondly, that the Karbonis that are offered in the state of Tumah are possible. So the whole institution of Tumah was only formulated in a get to Karbonis Yochid. It was never formulated in a get to Karbonis Tumah. So if you say like that, that it's Hutra, means the whole parsha doesn't apply. So the both aspects of the parsha don't apply. Neither the Iser, nor the psul. But if you hold that it's dechuya, so dechuya only makes sense to say that the mitzvah of hakrovas karbon tzibur is doicha the avera of hakrova betumah. But it can't be doicha psul. Where do you have a dechuya on a psul? So then you, if you hold dechuya, then you have to have the tzitz to be meratz. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah quotes a machlokes hatanaim regarding the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wore. It said Kodesh LaHashem. So the Gemara has a mach. The Tanoim lived after the Churban Abayis, so we're fighting about this. They never saw the tzitzis. So one Tana says that it's supposed to be on two lines, Kodesh La and Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei should be higher. But the Shem Hashem should be a line above Kodesh Le, and it should read like this, Kodesh Kuf Dalet Shin Lamed, and then you move up above that is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Continue further. And the other Tana says, no, it was on one line. So comes a third Tana and he says, Ani Re'isi Beroimi. I was in Rome, and they showed me in the Vatican. The Gemara in Hurrius tells the whole story. What was he doing in Rome? Why did they show him what's going on? They had the Klei HaMikdash there. So the Gemara gives you the whole historical background. And he says, it's on one line. I saw it myself with my own eyes. It's all in one line. Right? So we have this archaeological evidence that it was on one line. So the Rambam goes and he paskins that it's supposed to be in two lines. Kodesh Lashem is supposed to be in two lines. So the Kes Mishnah says, how can he argue with archaeological evidence? So the Kes Mishnah answers, every Kohen Gadol had to have a different tzitz, because the tzitz has to fit his forehead. So some Kohanim Gedolim have a broad forehead, some have narrow, different size heads. So every Kohen Gadol has to have a different one. So maybe this machlekes hatanoim was a machlekes in the days of the Bais Sheni. So maybe some of them wrote Kodesh Lashem on one line, some of them wrote Kodesh Lashem on two lines. So just because you found one that had a Kodesh Lashem on one line doesn't mean that that's the accepted opinion. We would paskin that that one was no good. In another generation, we assume that in a different generation they had Kodesh Lashem on two lines, and that's the more correct way of writing Kodesh Lashem. That's the shayla. Whenever you have archaeological evidence, does it really prove anything? The issue with the Tefillin d'Rashi and Tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam, what's the Seder Parsha? So the Rishonim quote already that they did excavations in Kever Yecheskel Anavi and they found Tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam. So it's a riot that already in the days of Yecheskel Anavi they were Tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam. So the Prisha on the bottom of Hilchas Tefillin quotes this whole discussion from the earliest one. Yeah, the tefillin were possible. That's why they were gaining them in Kevi Cheskel Anavi. They had possible tefillin. If you look in the Shemus in any shul, you find possible tefillin. So maybe those were possible tefillin. Who says that they were kosher tefillin? Or they found the mikveh in Eretz Yisrael, and the mikveh didn't correspond to the Chazanish's size of Arboim Sol. So it's a right, the Chazanish is wrong. Maybe that mikveh was made by the Isim. Maybe it was made by the people who didn't accept the psokim of the Tanoim. So you can never really tell. sometimes it's hard to tell with the archaeological evidence. You're not sure what the story is.
How do we explain when we had not big discussion, but how do we explain or regular cut the discussion of when we find that they claim to be prehistoric dinosaurs and things like that, and in terms of like the aging of the oenum and
there are different suggestions. Some claim that on the occasion of the Mabul, because of the Mabul, everything aged a lot. And others say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, the Gemara says in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, he created, Adam HaRishon was not created as a little baby, he was created as a mature adult. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the trees, they weren't created as one-day-old trees, they were created as big fat trees, B'tzivyonim Nivru. They were all created in... fully mature. So maybe when the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, he created animals and things that was from day number one, they were ancient. Maybe that's why he created everything, that it was very ancient. Different suggestions, we're not sure. Or maybe all the scientific rules and regulations that we know of only hold true after the Mabul. Maybe before the Mabul, all of science was different. We're not sure. The pasuk says that one of the big dekan gadol, one of the shmadim gadim, had to be the choshen hamishpat. And into the choshen hamishpat, it says in pasuk lamed in chapter chav ches, when asata el choshen hamishpat es ho urim es hatumim, v'hoyu aleva haron, etc. So what are the urim and tumim? Rashi says uksab shem hamefoirosh shohir nosna betoch kif leha choshen. They would write the shem hamefoirosh on a piece of parchment and put it in between the folds of cloth of the choshen. And the Gemara says, Rashi's interpreting, Ubimigda sheni hoya hachoshen, the kangodl had to wear shmoyne begodim. So even a baisheni has to wear shmoyne begodim. Ubimigda sheni baisheni hoya hachoshen, she'i epshe the kangodl yes mechus begodim, aval osa Hashem lo haya betocho. They didn't put in the Urim and Tumim. Why? Because the pasuk says that they knew it wasn't going to answer. They knew the Urim and Tumim wouldn't answer because there was less Ruach HaKodesh in the Bais Sheni, so that's why they didn't bother to put in the Urim and Tumim. Tosfos, that's the Rashi and Yuma writes the same. And Tosfos there in Yuma disagrees with Rashi at the end of the first parak. Tosfos disagrees and says, no, the Urim and Tumim is an integral part of the Choshen. If you don't have Urim and Tumim, the whole Choshen is possible. They had to have the Urim and Tumim, but it just didn't answer. It didn't function. This machlek is also machlek is the Rambam and the Raiva, the same machlek is in the Bais Sheni, when they had choshen, did they have to put in the Urim and Tumim just didn't function? Or no, like Rashi, the Urim and Tumim is not an integral part of the Beged of the choshen. So the Beged is kosher without the Urim and Tumim. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a famous comment, Mipnei Ma, why is it that the Kangodol doesn't wear the tzitz at Yom Kippur? So the Gemara quotes one Tana says because the tzitz is made from gold and the Egel Azov was gold. It's not the same gold. It's the same type of gold, but it's not the exact same gold that the Egel Azov was from. And the Gemara says, Ven katega nasa sanegur. All year long the Kohen Gadol only goes bachutz, but on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they were more sensitive regarding the issue of Ven katega nasa sanegur. So it applies not only to the actual Chepta shel Aveira, the Chepta that was used for an Aveira, that's the Kateger, it applies to the whole category. All gold in the world is considered a Kateger with respect to entering into the Kodesh HaKadosh. And even though the Egel HaZov was from gold, all Agolim in the world, all Paris and Agolim in the world are considered a Kateger if you would bring them in, Lefnai V'Lefnim. So that's why one Tana is of the opinion that a Shofar shel Parah you're not allowed to use on Rosh Hashanah, because even though we blow shofar in New York, all over the world, but it's considered, Kevin of the Zikoran Kosik, Lifnim Dami, the Gemara says, is considered as if you're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Din of Enkatek and Asanega applies to the whole min of the thing. So all gold in the world is considered a min of the Egel Azov, and all Agolim and all Parais are also considered a min of the Egel Azov. Even though it was a golden replica, it wasn't really an Egel at all. That's how the Gemara says. So Mefarshim ask on the Gemara, what kind of a lotion is that? Mipnei ma, ena kain gadol nichlas lefnai v'lefnim with the tzitz. It'll be a miyut to begodim. What kind of a question is that? The Chumash lists off in Parshas Achrei Mos lifts off the big day kohen gadol that he has to wear on Yom Kippur, and tzitz is not one of them. So if he'll wear the tzitz, it'll be a miyuta begadim. So Pashib Shak, we usually assume that the Gemara is explaining time of the Krua. Why did the Torah tell us, Tamei HaMitzvah, why did the Torah tell us the kohen gadol shouldn't wear a tzitz on Yom Kippur? They're trying to explain what's behind the din. But others suggest no. The Torah tells us the kohen gadol should wear Abu Abgadim on Yom Kippur, the special begadim. And then the Gemara is asking, but in addition to the Abu Abgadim, let the kohen gadol wear the tzitz. Because the tzitz is only, we pask, and the tzitz is only meratzeh when he's wearing it. When he's not wearing it, it's not meratzeh. So the Gemara there in Yuma, the Daf Zayin, raises an issue. What's going to be if a tumah will occur on Yom Kippur when the kohen gadol has to take off the tzitz? So then there won't be anything to be meratzeh. So one Tana says, no problem, tumah, hutra betzibu, hutra, you don't need a tzir of avri tzitzitz. But we pask in duchuya betzibu. So if it's duchuya, so you do need it. Duchuya is doicha de yisr. So what's machshavit? You need the tzitz to be meratzeh. So what's going to be on Yom Kippur when the kohen gadol not allowed to wear the tzitz? So the Gemara says, so let him wear the tzitz. Let him wear the abob godim of Yom Kippur, and let him wear in addition the tzitz. Who says he's not allowed to wear the tzitz? So the Gemara has to give a reason. En kategan al saneged. That's what we don't allow him. So that's what some achrenim understood like this. So yes, but what do you mean? It'll be miyuta begodim. The Chumash says which begodim you wear. If you wear an extra beg, it'll be miyuta begodim. If you say the Gemara is explaining time of the Kro, why did the Torah tell us that kohen gadol only wears abob godim? Okay, on Yom Kippur you shouldn't wear the tzitz. So that's time of the Kro. But that time of the Kro doesn't explain the whole story. The kohen gadol on Yom Kippur doesn't wear all the shmonim begodim. He only wears four begodim. So you didn't explain everything, you just explained the tzitz. What's the hezbah for the other missing begadim? For the other three begadim that are missing? So that's what other achrayim understand in the Gemara. No. Abad the kohen gadol wears the abob begadim in the chumash. We're not asking any questions, but we're asking a new question. In addition to those abob begadim, let him wear the tzitz also. And it won't be miyuta begadim for some reason or another. And let him wear the tzitz to be machshir, because we paskin tumma duchi betziba. Let him wear the tzitz to be machshir the avodah. So Gemara says, no, we don't allow him to wear the tzitz because ain't kategan al saneg. So what do you mean? Why isn't there an issue of miyut begodim? So that's what some achrenim write, that miyut begodim is only if you wear a beged, and the tzitz is a tachshit. It's not a beged, it's not made from cloth. That's a chiddush. Let's say the kohen head, you will wear a watch, you will wear a ring, wear other things, a necklace. Where other things that are not cloth, not begodim, so there's taka no din of miyuta begodim. The Gemara has a whole sugi about miyuta begodim in Zvachim in the second pair. This is an interesting chiddush. There is, the Netziv points out in his Chuvas in the Mesha of Davi, he points out that there seems to be a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam on the din of miyuta begodim. The Rambam seems to write that miyuta begodim only if you have an extra beged, only pasels if the extra beged is from the big day kuhuna. But if the kohen wears something else, a glove, so it's a shayla of chatzitza. But if he's going to do the avodah bimin, he's going to wear the glove on small, he's going to wear a scarf or something, the extra beged is not going to be from the big day kuhuna. So from the Rambam it would appear that there's no din of miyuta begodim. Rashi says explicitly not so. Rashi interprets the Gemara, the Feirish, not so, that miyuta begodim even applies if he's wearing a beged shalchol. The Rambam also has to agree that there is a din of chatzitza, the Gemara said the Feirish. If you have a chatzitza, let's say the kohen is going to wear an undershirt, underwear, and then he's going to wear the big dikun on top. Even according to the Rambam, the way the Netziv understood it, that it's not a miyuta begodim, because the extra begodim are big dechol, they're not big dechodish, but that's no good because of chatzitza. Al besara ulevesham, the Gemara learns that from the pasuk. Al besara ulevesham, that you can't have any chatzitza. In fact, it's interesting, all of the dinim in Shulchan Aruch about chatzitza by Tefillin and Shal Rosh are learned that by the Rishonim from the Sugis and Zochim about chatzitza by big dechunim. The Gemara doesn't talk too much. Just the Mishnah Megillah about chatzitza. The Mishnah Megillah talks about chatzitza by shalyad. That if one puts his tefillin on top of his beisun kolishal, puts his tefillin on top of the sleeve, is not yaitze the mitzvah. Never says that there's chatzitza by shalrosh. That's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Machlekes is the Rashba and other Rishonim. So we're machmer on that. Mishnah Berurah complains about the people who don't take off their toupees when they put on their tefillin shalrosh. Remember, there used to be a rabbi in the RCA. He wore a toupee, and he didn't take off the toupee when he wore his tefillin. He was embarrassed. He used to wear the tefillin with the toupee. So they confront him. They said, "Hayitach." And he said, "Rabbi Soloveitchik said it's okay." What Rabbi Soloveitchik was once giving shira and hilchas tefillin in the yeshiva. So when he gave shira, he explained all the opinions that are accepted, the opinions that are not accepted. He didn't say which way we paskin. Of course, we paskin that there's a din of chatzitza by shalosh. It says in Shulchan Aruch that that's the accepted opinion. But because he spent a half an hour explaining the shita that there's no din of chatzitza on shalosh on shalyad, so this rabbi walked out and said, "Rabbi Soloveitchik said there's no din of chatzitza on shalosh." When he used to give shiurim on Shulchan Aruch, he explained all the opinions. He didn't just explain that opinion that's accepted. That's interesting. There in Shulchan Aruch, all the details of Hilchas Chatzitza by Tefillin are established by the Rishonim based on the Sugi and Zvachim in the second parak, which speaks about Chatzitza by the Big Dekuna. So that the Rambam also admits. If you wear Big Dekhol underwear and then you put the Big Dekuna on top of that, that's not Miyuta Begodim, that's Chatzitza. But the Nitziv points out from the Rambam, it would appear that big dechol would not be miyuta begadim in a situation where it's not a chatzitza. Rashi is beferish not so. The pasuk says the kain gadol should wear the tzitz v'hoya al mitzcho tomid. V'hoya al mitzcho tomid. That's the shaila. What do you say mitzcho? What does it mean mitzcho? It's the pasuk pshat mitzcho is the forehead. So the Targum Onkelos writes v'hei al beis einohi tadiro. What do the words mean? Beis einohi. Is that the Aramaic word for forehead? So Tosis and Yuma has two opinions. One opinion is no. It says you should put on the tefillin shel rosh bein einecha. Where do you put it on your forehead? So the Gemara says, no, you're supposed to put it b'makom seyor. So Tosis suggests maybe the word beis einohi in the Targum Onkelos has the same connotation as bein einecha by the tefillin shel rosh. So the tzitz of the kohen gadol has to be up here. Not supposed to be over here, it's supposed to be over here. So where is he going to wear the tefillin? Further back. And where is he going to wear his yarmulke? Has to wear mitznefes? Further back. The kohen head yet only wears tefillin. Shel rosh. The Gemara said tefillin shel yad, they couldn't wear it, be chatzitza. Can't wear the tefillin shel yad on top of the big dekuna because of chatzitza. He can't wear it because chatzitza for the tefillin. Can't wear the tefillin below the tefillin. Below the big dekuna, it'll be chatzitza for the big dekuna. So the tefillin shel yad he can't wear, but tefillin shel rosh, the Gemara says they all wore. The shel yad is not me'akev the shel rosh. So the Gemara said the kohanim wore the shel rosh. So the kohen head yod wore the tefillin shel rosh over here, and he wore a mikbas. The mikbas was bigger. And the kohen gadol, according to this opinion of Tosfos, had to wear the tzitz over here, then the tefillin shel rosh over here, then he couldn't wear a mikbas. The mikbas is too big. So the kohen gadol had to wear a smaller yarmulke. The smaller the yarmulke, the holier the person. Smaller the yarmulke, the holier the person. How does the Pope wear a smaller yarmulke or a bigger yarmulke? I don't know. But the kohen gadol, that's what Tosfos says. That's why one is called the mitznefes, one is called the mikbas, because the mitznefes of the kohen gadol was smaller than the mikbas. And then the other opinion of Tosfos is no, mitzcha tam, and the mitzcha means the forehead, and the mitznefes and mikbas are the same thing. The Gemara says, "Mokem yesh barosh lahaniach shnei tefillin." There's enough room to put two pairs of tefillin, one next to the other, or one behind the other. So, how could that be? What if you have grandfather tefillin that are 3 inches by 3 inches? There's room to put two tefillin. This is at the back of the head, so it must be talking about some specific size tefillin. Some specific size. Mokem yesh barosh lahaniach shnei tefillin. What's the specific size? So, Tosfos says, "Shtei etzbois al shtei etzbois." This is an etzba, two thumbs by two thumbs. A small. So there's enough room to put two. And the tzitz is assumed to have been shtei etzbois tall. So if he had the tzitz right where the hairline begins, then he has the shel rosh right over here. That's like putting two pairs of tefillin. Mokem yesh barosh laniach shnei tefillin. If he's going to have a grandfather size of tefillin, a big size tefillin, then it'll be shelo b'makom anochon. But if he'll have a smaller size tefillin shel rosh, then it'll be okay. The pasuk says when they were endowing Aharon Avonov with Kedushas Kohuna, so they had to take them to the mikveh. Verachatz do'isam b'moyim, here in Perek Chavtes, pasuk Dalit, verachatz do'isam b'moyim, Rashi says, zut tfilos kol aguf. Doesn't mean they should shower. They should clean off the bodies to remove all dirt and all chatzitzes. No, Rashi says that they should do that also. to take off all chatzitzes. But Rashi translates v'rachatz zut tefilas kol gufa. They should be tovel at a mikveh, and then they have to bring special korbanos. So this is really a din we have by every ger. A ger habol is gayer wants to become endowed with kedushas Yisrael, so he has to be tovel in the mikveh. He has to have milah also. Here they all had a milah already, so he has to be tovel in the mikveh. The tefillah endows him with kedusha, and then the ger has to bring korbanos as well. So the pasuk says that part of the seder of being mekadosh tikkun was the putting on of the big tikkunah. And the Gemara has a whole shaila in the first parak in Yuma. Ketzad hil bishon. Exactly how do they put on the big tikkunah? So the Gemara says, Lamay nafkemin, amay da havi havi? Amay da havi havi? The mitzvah of Liban HaTorah is to discuss halacha topics that are negel halacha. If you're discussing something that was years ago, that's not relevant in the future, so the Gemara considers that bitl Torah. So the Gemara asks, Maida Hava Hava, you're discussing Ketzad Hilbishon. The Gemara says, no. Ketzad Malbishon Lasid Lava. It is a Shaila Lasid Lava also. What do you mean, Lasid Lava? What do you mean, Lasid Lava? So the Gemara means to say, after Priyas HaMeisim, whoever is a Kohen, there are Kohanim. Now, someone got the first Aliyah this morning. So whoever is a Kohen will come to the Beis HaMikdash. He'll put on Big Day Kuna. He doesn't need a Kiddush all over again. So what does the Gemara say, Ketzad Malbishon Lasid Lava? Means the Kohanim who died, and they're going to come back to life after Tchias HaMeisim, so they lost their Kedushas Kuna. When they were born, the day they were born, their father was a Kohen, and the mother was not from the Psuli Kuna, so they're not a Cholo. So they got a Kedushas Kuna at birth. So they got a Kedushas Kuna, so they don't need a new Seder to be Mekadosh them. But after they die and they come back to life, so then the Gemara assumes that after Tchias HaMeisim, these Kohanim who will want to do Avodah will have to have a Kiddush all over again. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, not Ketzad Hilbishon, but Ketzad Malbishon Lasid Lava. It's a big Kiddush. So the Gemara says, Ketzad Malbishon Lasid Lava? Moshe Rabbeinu will be there. After the Tchias HaMeisim, we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu, how do you do it the first time? We'll do it the same time now. So what are we discussing? The issue is moot. So the Gemara says, we want to know, when we Mava Sedrim, when we learn Chumash, how to translate the words of the Chumash, which big dekuna did he put on first? Okay. Does that sign the pshat and the psukim, the Gemara says. The special korban, the ger has to bring any korban. So the Mishnah in Parisa says if he wants to save money, if he wants, he can bring an oilos behema. And if he wants to save money, he can bring an oilos ha'oif. An oilos ha'oif, the Mishnah says, strictly speaking, you can bring prey to achas. You can bring one oif, one Torah, one benyoin as an oilos ha'oif. But that's only if you're bringing an oilos ha'oif as an edova. But the Gemara says if you're bringing as a chayva, the din is that the ger is mechuyev to bring a korban. If you bring as a chayva, so that has to be a minimum of shnam. You have to have a kan. You have to have shtei torim and shnei bnei yoyim. And both oilas. Sometimes you have a kan echad liyola echad lachatas. But over here, he doesn't bring a chatas. He brings a kan of two oilas oifs. So that's the mission says if he wants to save money, he can bring an oilas oif. And it won't be as expensive as an oilas behemah. Here, there was a special hayrashah that had to bring a whole set of korbanos, and the korbanos were brought v'shutvis, Aaron and his four sons. They were all yaitzei with this set of korbanos. So the Gemara discusses in different places, first daven tzmur and the first daven erech, and other Gemaras. The Gemara discusses what do you do when you bring a korban v'shutvis, when you have to do tenufa and the chazav v'shoik. So who does the tenufa? So the Gemara says a korban ashutvim echad meinafai yidei kulam. One does the tenufa on behalf of all of the shutvim. So the Tosefta points out that here it says beferish that all Aaron and Avraham, they all did the tenufa together. So this was clearly an exception to the rule. And then the Gemara has another din. When you have a korban above the shutvis, each one has to do smicha. Each one has to, but they can't do smicha bevasach. They have to do bezach hazeh. Because there isn't enough room on the head of the animal for everybody's hands. So your hands will be a chatzitza between mine hands and the korban, or my hands will be a chatzitza between your hands and the korban. So you have, called balichoivrin, need smicha. When you have all chabur, abshutvim, bring a korban together, each one has to do smicha, bezach hazeh individually. So the raven and his pirish on the Torah's Kohanim, on Parshas Tzav, where it says that they brought all of these korbanas, suggests that they probably did, Aaron Avana probably did the smicha b'zeach hazeh, like in every case of Bali Chayvin. When you have a korban that's bo b'shutfis, that each one has to do the smicha b'zeach hazeh. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik suggests that maybe not so. just like the Tosefta says that this was an exception to the rule that they all did tenufa. He didn't say echad menefayu de kulam. So maybe over here it's an exception to the rule regarding the smicha as well. Maybe they all did the smicha bevasachas. Why? So he suggests that this is a different kind of shutfis. Normally, if I can afford it, I can bring my own oilo, I can bring my own shlomin. If you can afford it, you can bring your own. So let's say we decide, we can't afford, we decide we want to bring a korban meshutfis. I could have brought without you, you could have brought without me. So we decide to chip in together, we're each going to save money. You bring a korban meshutfis, 2 shutfim, 10 shutfim, 1,000 shutfim, 1,000,000 shutfim, you bring a korban meshutfis. So really, each one is a bala korban on his own. So that's what the Gemara says, echad meinefal yedei kulam. Each guy is really an independent bala korban. So it's enough if one does the tenufa. They don't all have to do the tenufa. But the smicha, since each one is an independent bala korban, your hands will be a chatzitza between my hands and the korban. So that's where the din is. We learn that from psukim. Each one of the shutfim has to do a smicha, but bezechas and not together. Here it's a different kind of shutfis. Here if they would have chosen to, let's say they had a lot of money from Bezos Mitzrayim, and each one will decide, Ahara and Avon of all the 4 sons, each one wants to bring a whole set of all the karbonas. It wouldn't be Yotze, Rav Avola suggests. Here was a special din that they have to be shutfim whether they like it or not. So maybe that's what the Pasuk says. It's a different kind of a shutfis over here. It's a shutfis bal korcham, and each one is not an independent balakram. So you can't say, Echad neinef ayideh kulam. Let one of them do the truth and they'll all be Yotze. He's not an independent balim. They're all shutfim together. They're all equal by limb on the carbon. So maybe that's why here they needed a tenufa together. He suggests maybe they did the tenufa. The Chumash doesn't say whether they did the tenufa together, they did b'zach hazeh. So he suggests maybe they did the tenufa b'vasachas, maybe they did the smicha b'vasachas, and it's not a chatzitza. Your hands would not be a chatzitza between my hands and the carbon, because we're all considered one big bala carbon. Let's say I do the smicha and I have one finger, it's in between the other finger and the. That's all part of my body. That's not a chatzitza. That's what he suggests. Maybe the din of chatzitza is only the other fellow is a different bala korban. He's an independent bala korban from me. So that would be a chatzitza. But here the Torah says that all 5 Aaron ve'Abo Bono became bala korban together. They all became shutz and bal korcham. So maybe here there wouldn't be any problem of chatzitza. That's like putting one finger on top of the other. That's his suggestion. He admits that it's against the Ravid. The Ravid and the beer on Torah's Kohanim, and that's the real Ravid. The Ravid on Tomid, we assume, is not the real Ravid. The Ravid on Torah's Kohanim is the real Ravid. So the Ravid writes before she thinks they probably did this smicha b'zeach hazeh, not together. Rav Avola suggests, maybe not so. Maybe that's exactly why this korban was different, b'negeah to the tenufa, because it's a different kind of a shutfis over here. So Chumash says that the purpose of wearing all of these big dekunas is to be mekadosh them. That's what made them kohanim. So it says the kohen gadol has to wear the shmoneh begadim. Loshen HaPosek is Omashachta also Viribisa also. So the Gemara points out in Yuma that there are 2 ways to make a person into a Kohen Gadol. Either Ayidei Ribud Godim or Ayidei Meshicha B'Shemen HaMishcha. So the whole Tkufa is Bayis Rishain. They appointed Kohanim Gedolim by Meshicha B'Shemen HaMishcha. Towards the end of the period of the Bayis Rishain, Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Shemen HaMishcha. That's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. So they had no choice, so they had to make Kohanim Gedolim Ayidei Ribui B'Godim. But the Gemara learns it out from the Psukim and today's Sedra. Can't find the Psukim, but the Psukim about Umashachta also, Ribisa also. So the Mishnah discusses a slight difference between the two. If you have a Kohen Gadol who is Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, he has a higher level of Kuna Gedola than a Kohen Gadol who is only Meruba B'Godim. That's a Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Megillah. Ein bein Kohen HaMeruba B'Godim L'Kohen HaMashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha Ela Par Habo Al Kol HaMitzvos. It's a little unclear what that's referring to. So Rashi on Megillah and other places, that's a Mishnah Megillah. Rashi on the Mishnah Megillah and other places, Rashi writes, Par Habo Kol HaMitzvos means, when you look in Parshas Vayikra, the Chumash talks about Par HaLamdavah Shel Tzibur. if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in Psak and the Roi Patsiba violated the Nisa Koris because of the error of the Bez Nagodol, so then it says you have to bring a Parhalam Dovashal Tzibur, and the Pasuk says the Kohen Gadol has to be Makrivit. So Rashi says the only Kohen Gadol who can be Makrivit, Parhalam Dovashal Tzibur, is the Kohen Gadol who is Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, he's only Meruba B'Gadim, he's not kosher to do that. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says that there's a Beferish at Toras Kohanim that says that even though the Chumash says there in Parshas Vayikra that the Kohen Gadol has to be Makrivit the Korban, it's not true. The Pasuk is not true. The only time you need a Kohen Gadol to be Makrivit Karbanos is Yom Kippur, and all year long, even for Parah and Dovashal Tzibur, you don't need a Kohen Gadol. So what does it mean in the Mishnah, Ela Parah Ba'al Kol HaMitzvah? They says, no, that's Par Kohen Gadol. The din is that if a normal person is Mechal HaShabbos B'Shogeg, he brings Kizbo Sirup. The Kohen Gadol is Mechal HaShabbos B'Shogeg. It says in Parshas Vayikra, he has to bring a Par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzvah. So that's only if the Kohen Gadol, who is Mechal HaShabbos B'Shogeg, ate Chela B'Dam B'Shogeg, whatever he did, ate Chametz B'Pesel B'Shogeg, only if he was a Kohen Gadol who was Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. But if he's only a Merubah B'Gadim, then he doesn't have the obligation to bring that special carpet. That's why we were discussing the other day, what if two Kohanim G'daylam are walking down the highway and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah? So one of them, this is only once in the history of the world, but when Yoshua Melech was going as the Shemen HaMishcha and they appointed the next Kohen Gadol like they Merubah B'Gadim, and the old guy's still alive, so they're walking down the highway. That's only once in the history of the world. So these two Kohanim G'dalim are walking down the highway. So which one of them should be Metami to the Mace? So the Mishnah says, the Merubah B'Gadim should be Metami, not the Kohen Gadol, Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Because one of Meshuach has a slightly higher level of Kedusha Zekuna G'dalah than the Merubah B'Gadim, V'Haraya, but he get to the Par Haba, Kol HaMitzvah, whatever that means. But you learn like Rashi, you learn like Tesis. But that's the Mishnah in Nazir like that. There's a pasuk in today's parsha that says when they brought these karbanos, the special karbanos, ochlu osam ashakupa bohem. The b'nei here's the pasuk, chapter chav tes pasuk lamed gimel, ochlu osam ashakupa bohem lemali as yodam, that Aaron and Abanav were the bali hakarban. So this is the mitzvah on the bali hakarban to eat the kochim kalim. Kochim. There's a mitzvah on kohanim to eat. That's a different psukim. And Kochim Kalim is a machlekes harishon. The Rambam never counts it as a mitzvah to eat. That's part of the mitzvah of hakrovas hakarban. You should see lois hasirim emen adbeik. You shouldn't leave noises emen. Somebody has to eat it. But the Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah. It's not. When he says shakal niyah bedvar, it doesn't say another bracha. Asher kedushana b'mitzvos v'tzivano al achilas hashlamim. He doesn't al achilas hazevach. The Mishnah talks about bechas hazevach patur shal pesach, shal pesach patur shal zevach. Maybe the Rambam learns that it goes on the Kohanim who are makrib the karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, not at the time that he's eating it. Because the Rambam, I think, never counts it as a mitzvah to eat the achilas kochim kalim. And Rashi, in a few places in Shas, does say like that, that this pasuk is the mocker, Rashi, in Psochim, and a few other places writes, the ochlos mashakupa behem is the mocker for the mitzvah to eat kochim kalim. The bala karbon who brings it should eat the kochim kalim. Okay, I apologize, I gotta leave early, so I gotta run. Everybody have a good Shabbos.